classes the 4th and 5th because we're having a special service the 4th and 5th. At any rate, we'll get that corrected. But 2 weeks following that, we will be having Bible school classes. So keep that in mind. And if you're missing those classes, you're missing a great blessing. We had some really good lessons and even had some lively discussion going on that kind of makes the mind stir up and do some thinking and maybe even some studying and searching the scripture. If you'd like, turn your Bibles to the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to begin reading at verse number 43. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, be good to them that hate you, and pray for them that which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust alike. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if we salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, the word perfect does not mean sinless. A sinner can't help but being a sinner. A sinner can't help but sin. God's made a way to take care of that sin for the saved sinner. If he'll confess and forsake it, God will forgive him and cleanse him of all unrighteousness. But this word perfect means to be complete. In other words, to totally give over and follow the teachings and the examples of the Lord Jesus Christ in his word. Carry it out to perfection as much as we sinners can do. The message of Jesus stunned the people of his day. He challenged them to change their thinking as well as their living. The Lord still calls people to change. He calls the lost to let him change their life through repentance and faith in his sacrifice to become our Savior. As that innocent Lamb of God that was slain to pay the price for our sins and the sins of all mankind. We're not to be of the world, even though we are in the world as children of God. We're called to be different. We're to stand out and hold contest to our society, or contrast to our society. We're to shine as lights in the darkness of this world. It is not easy to be different. It requires faith, love, commitment. We must be different as God's people. Members of this New Testament church must be different. If we're not different, we can't make a difference. And he left us here when he saved us to be here and to make a difference in reaching out to others that were lost and without hope and without help. He left us here to set an example of righteousness that men may see their shortcomings and that they might understand that there is a better life, and that better life is in Jesus Christ. And without being in Christ through repentance and faith, one cannot live differently or have a different life. And there can be no good come out of this life outside of through Jesus Christ and the grace. And besides that, any good that we wicked and evil individuals or sinful men have is by the grace of God. We just read, he lets the rain fall on the just and the unjust alike. He gives opportunity to the lost and to the saved. But listen, he does it by grace because he loves mankind, and his desire is to have a relationship and have an eternal fellowship with them in heaven. He desires them to come to him freely by their own choice, not because they have to, not in order to gain something, but come freely and live a different life, experience that different life. We need to have a different perception in life. We need to perceive, as Joshua 22 and verse number 31 says, "And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, said, 'This day we perceive that the Lord is among us.'" Attention on what he said. "This day we perceive that the Lord is among us." Did you know that lost sinners need to realize that the Lord is present, that the Lord is here, that the Lord is sustaining life, that the Lord is providing, that the Lord is giving opportunity? The saved need to realize that he is present with them always. He's present with them always to give them a better life, to give them the joy and that peace that passes all understanding. Then in Psalm 16 and verse number 11, 16th Psalm and verse 11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy." Not only fullness of joy, but there's courage and there's power, because Peter, as he walked close to the Lord, he walked on water. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus and put his faith and trust in him, he was able to do wondrous things. All of God's people, our brethren, our forefathers, were able to do amazing things by the grace of God. Some who died a martyr's death could experience that and could still survive and could still present Jesus Christ to the lost around about, that they might be able to be saved, that they could escape hell and make it to heaven. "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." We need to perceive the folly of sin. Sin is not forbidden fun. Sin is not forbidden fun. It is death. Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death." The results of sin is death. It's bitterness. It's cursing. It's misery. It's agony. An agony of the soul. It's loneliness. It's infectious disease. And it is poisonous. 1 Corinthians 15 and 34, the statement is made, "Awake to righteousness and sin not." Awake to righteousness. Awake to the facts. The fact is, sin brings death. Did you know that death? There's people that are alive that are dying. As a matter of fact, we're all dying as a result of sin by degree, and more so as sin abounds. You wonder why all the disease and all the catastrophes and all the things that are going on in our world today. Look at how far in my short lifetime, how far this people of the world and of this country have gone away from God. We've taken God out of everything. We've taken the Word of God out of everything. We've set aside. We don't want to accept that there is God. He's still there, brother. And listen, he is taking a toll upon the ungodly and the reprobate who refuse to recognize and acknowledge him. After all, he is the creator of all men.
you, me, these little children. You mean their mom and dad didn't create? No, he created them in the womb of the mother. We're his creation. Man is not the superior being. God is. The superior man is Jesus. He should be the hero of all of our young children. If so, that might keep them out of hell one of these days. If not, they'll spend eternity there without hope and without help. And many will blame God for it. It's not God's fault. It's your fault and mine because we didn't raise them the way they ought to be raised. The Bible tells us that we're to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And when they get old, they will not depart from it. Now, but most of God's people, they think sin is denial of fun. And many walk away and they're going to have fun. Well, how much fun is it? Wasn't any fun when I wasn't right with the Lord. It's not fun with you either. Deceiving yourself, it brings these things: death, bitterness, cursing, loneliness, infections, and poisonous. We need to awake unto righteousness and sin. We need to recognize and acknowledge the consequences of continuing in sin without hope and without help. It not only affects us, but it affects ours in the main. The life we live, the example we set, our children will follow. We need to have a different passion in life. We need to have a passion for righteousness. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33. Matthew 6, 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first. Listen, God said this, and he knows. The truth is, if you seek God first, he'll take care of these things. You say, yeah, but faithful people for God experience bad things. That's true. That's a result of sin in general and the effects it has on humanity. But with Jesus Christ, he gives us grace to go through it. And even to the loss of loved ones, he makes it easier for us to go through and to face illnesses and serious injuries and so forth. His grace is always there, and it's always sufficient. But no, we bought a bill of goods from mankind that man's the superior being. And that man can take care of all of our problems. Well, listen, good luck. Good luck. When the rain comes down and the floods rise, then good luck. Take care of it. When these tornadoes go through and wipe out parts of a city and kill hundreds of people, you gonna stop that? Man's not gonna stop it. Good luck. That's the result of sin. That's the consequences. Without Jesus, brother, it's a catastrophe. With Jesus, his grace is sufficient, and we can endure and come out stronger on the other side. We need to have a passion for prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17 says, pray without ceasing. Be in an attitude of prayer. Be able to instantly raise your heart up to God and bring to him the needs that you have, or even the blessings, and give him glory for the blessings of life that you received. And by the way, anybody living in this country is blessed beyond measure by the grace of God. You know, try living in some of these other countries. Why do you think all these people in droves are coming to this country? If their life was better there, they wouldn't come here. We need to have a passion for spiritual graces, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Those are simply the facts that are brought out in Galatians 5:22. If we live after the Spirit and not after the flesh, we will manifest these. We'll manifest love. Love in this day and time is what I can get out of it and what makes me feel good and what fulfills my desires. Now, wait a minute. Real love is fulfilling the desires of others and helping them along the way. The story of the Good Samaritan, the priest and so forth, who just walked on by seeing him in a condition of him, but that Good Samaritan showed real love. Sure, they were compassionate, they made but they did nothing. But listen, the one that really loved them was that Samaritan who went down and took care of his wounds and took him to a place to where he could be cared for and provided for. Love is not selfish, brother. Love is giving. Love is sharing. Love is being concerned about others and dismissing self. We need to have a passion for these spiritual graces. Again, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. We need to have a passion for those without hope and without God in this world. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 12. Ephesians 2 and verse 12. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Now listen, that was the condition of the Gentiles. We're Gentiles. If you're not saved this morning, you're in the same condition. You're not adopted by God. You're not a descendant of Abraham spiritually. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope beyond this life. You don't have any hope. Our hope is in Jesus. Our hope is the redemption of this body, the resurrection of this body. For those without Jesus, there is no hope. Their bodies will be resurrected, but it won't be any different than the one that they had in the beginning. And they'll spend eternity suffering in that body. Having no hope and without God in the world. By the way, God leaves you free to choose. Preacher, why would you confront me with this coming here this morning? You chose to come here. This is what we have for you, the Word of God. Here's what we have for you, reality. Because the Word of God is reality. No matter how hard we fight against it, it's reality. Listen, it's anchored in heaven. And heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God will not pass away. The principles and standards will not pass away. Amen. Now, I could smooze you, you know, and make you feel good for a little bit. I'd rather make you feel bad for a little bit now, and you get right with Jesus and feel good eternally. Amen. That's really where it's at. That's reality. That's truth. We need to have a different power in our life. We need the power of Christ. As a matter of fact, Philippians 4, verse number 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We need to have the power of faith. Numbers 23 and 19. Numbers 23 and 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Well, God has promised. He keeps his promises. He's not like man. He will keep his promises to the letter. We need to have the power of love. Galatians 5 and verse number 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Galatians 5:14 gives us the second most important commandment. First is to love the Lord thy God. The second is to love your neighbor as yourself. We need to have a different pleasure in life. The world speaks of pleasure in sin and self-indulgence and diversion. We need to be pleasing God, and that should be our pleasure. Look at 1 John 2, verse number 15. 1 John chapter 2. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We need to have a different pleasure in life, not the things of this life or the fulfilling of the lusts of the flesh, but a pleasure in worshiping and serving our God. We need a different company. Those that should bring us pleasure are our brethren and not those in the world. The salvation of the lost should be our pleasure. Simple things should be. For example, a warm bath, a good book, someone to love, children, silence, and oh, how you would like to have a few minutes of silence. Good night's rest, a kind word, a smile, a hug, laughter, the promise of God, singing. Look at Ephesians 5, verses 18 through 20. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Our singing should be to honor and glorify the Lord. We need to have a different prize in life. We need to consider what the world prizes most: fortune, the accumulation of money or things, bigger, faster, newer, flashier things. James 5, 1 through 3. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Listen, newer, bigger, better, more money is not the answer to happiness and contentment in this life. it adds to the misery of life, because when you get the bigger and the better and the fancier, then you got to worry about making the payments, and then all of a sudden something happens and takes away where your ability to make those payments are gone, and what do? You got to worry about that. No pleasures in this material world. It's all in the Lord. And if you want to enjoy those things that are a pleasure in this world, then do it by putting the Lord first in your life, and then you can really enjoy it. Because without Him, there's no joy in this life. Preacher, that's what you say. Well, that's what the Bible teaches overall. But then again, if you want to have that way and take that position, good luck to you. Try it out and see how it works. Nobody's trying to force you to do anything this morning. Again, God does not want conscript. He does not want a forced service. He wants a willing one. Amen. He wants you to serve Him because of what He's done for you. And believe me, He's done what man couldn't do for himself. No other man could do for Him. The only one that could do it is Jesus, because He was sinless. God, the heaven, was His Father. He did not have a sin nature, so He didn't have to die for His sins. He died for your sins and mine. This world looks for fame, the praise of others. They look for power, the control of others. And in Matthew 6, beginning with verse number 19, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And then in verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's a disaster for God's people. That's a disaster for New Testament church members. When you got to give your life over to material gain, whether it be money or fortune or fame or whatever that might be, then you're taking your life away from Christ. And He created you to live that life and to manifest and to serve Him. Our prize is not found in the things of this world. Philippians 3, verse number 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Matthew 25, verse number 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps Matthew 25 and 21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as he is. What we've done with the talent and ability that God has given us in this life is going to determine whether or not he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, or whether he says, depart from me, I never knew you. What you do with Jesus makes a difference as to where you're going to spend eternity, my friend. And what you do with Jesus after that you're saved by the grace of God, then will determine on where and how that you're blessed in eternity. Because there's going to be some enjoyment in heaven better for some than it is others. Some reward is going to be greater than it is for others, depending on what we do with Jesus here and now. Let's stand. Invitation's open. It's been open since the service began. But it's open in particular right now. If you're here this morning, the Spirit of God's convicted your heart. You need to come to Jesus. If you don't know that if you died right now, you go to heaven and be with the Lord, you need to repent of your sins and by faith trust him. You know what repentance is? It's a turning from self and all that we use to justify us and turning to Jesus Christ and accepting what he did, accepting the fact that he died for our sins. He was buried and rose again for our justification. Need to repent. John the Baptist came preaching repentance, preparing a people for the Lord. Jesus came preaching repentance. It takes repentance. It takes from the heart, turning from self and sin, and turning and trusting Jesus Christ. The reality of it is that except you do it, you that are lost, you're going to perish. Child of God, except you do it, you're going to lose everything that you could have gained in this life eternally and forevermore. You're going to lose any reward that you might have. You're going to lose the opportunity for bridal relationship and living in that holy city and that new heaven and new earth. You're throwing it away. Throwing it away for a little season. I've been pastor here for 50 years. That's no time. I'm 80 years old soon. That's no time. It's gone by just like that. And it's going faster and faster every year that goes by. The time here is so short compared to eternity. What are you going to have when you in eternity? You want it all here? Well, you're going to lose it in eternity. If you want it in eternity, you're going to have to lose this here. That's the facts. That's the reality of it. What shall we sing? It's not the right way, and it's not going to develop anything.